Why don't you take your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. This message is actually an outworking of what the Lord did in my heart, especially yesterday, as I was doing some reading and studying. I don't know about you, but there's times when I just feel overwhelmed with, as they say, stressed out in our modern day terminology. I want you to notice here what the Bible says we are to do with that. 1 Peter chapter 5, by way of introduction, there's another passage I want to look at in particular here this morning. But 1 Peter chapter 5, notice verses 5 and following. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Notice, they should see and know and understand our humility. We're not talking about I'm humble and proud of it. Not that kind of thing. Otherwise, you've lost your humility. But notice here, people should understand and see the humility in our lives. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Notice this is a continued sentence here in verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And by the way, if you don't do that, verse 8 says the adversary has a way into your life. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Casting how much of your care? Casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. But the problem is, when we get weighed down with cares and burdens, we wonder if God truly does care. We wonder if he really does care. Psalm 55, verse 22, David says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And I want you to notice the result of that. As I cast my burden on the Lord, then he sustains me. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. There's a stability in our lives when I cast my burden upon the Lord. I've given this illustration before, but when I was still in powerlifting, I got out of position, and being the stubborn German that I am, I tried to fight it back. And so as I was doing a squat, I came back up and I got out of position, and I kept trying to lean forward on it. Well, the spotter says, drop it, drop it, drop it. So finally I dropped it on the platform, otherwise it would have smashed me to the platform. Notice here, if we do not cast our burdens on the Lord, then we will suffer for it. Notice an example of this in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and following. I want you to see another person that's been stressed out, as we see in Scripture. Stressed out, in this case, because there was no time with the Lord at this point in her life and ministry. The example here is of Martha, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And again, there's times when we get heavy laden with burdens. I believe the Bible tells us what we are to do with those burdens. I want for us to see that here this morning. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Notice Martha is now receiving Jesus into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. All right, so Mary's spending time with Jesus. Martha's going into the kitchen. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Let me say this again. When we get overburdened in cares and concerns and burdens of life, we are tempted to say, Lord, you don't care. Now, let me ask you, did Jesus tell her to do all of this preparation? No. We're going to see that one thing is necessary, Jesus says. Do you not care that I'm left here to serve alone? Notice she's expecting Jesus to send Mary out to the kitchen to help her. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Focuses upon herself. This says in verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Now, there's many times over my life that I've put my name there. Daniel, Daniel. Notice, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. Notice, full of care. That word careful in the Greek means to divide the mind. You see, if I'm full of care, I have a divided mind. I'm divided between all these different things. I have a divided mind, full of care. Notice, and troubled about many things, many things. But one thing is needful. Now, I would probably say it, I only need a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, Martha. I don't need all these elaborate preparations here. But one thing is needful. But notice here what he says. Mary hath chosen, notice there's a choice there to spend time with the Lord. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus does not want busy ministries to the neglect of him. And that's one of the things as pastor. I have known of churches that have something going on every night of the week. And so when do the people have time to spend with their families? And we can get so busy that we don't have time to spend time with the Lord. Notice here what Jesus says to Martha. Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Keep the main thing the main thing. What is the main thing? Our relationship with the Lord. If my relationship with the Lord is right, then I'm going to have a burden and concern for people around me. I believe that's very true. If my relationship is right with God, then I'm going to be concerned about the person who's lost and going to hell. I'm going to be concerned about the Christian who's going through a difficult time. But again, she's stressed out because of lack of time with the Lord. Now, as I've evaluated my own life, and I've seen it in other people's lives, many of our burdens are self-imposed and self-inflicted. Did you catch that? Many of our burdens are self-inflicted. God, don't you care? Martha's the one who chose all those things to be involved with. That was not the Lord telling her, Martha, I want you to do all of these things. Notice many times we get stressed out because of burdens that we have imposed upon ourselves. And many of our burdens are the result of bad decisions in the past. Some burdens are the result of living in a sin-cursed world. Now, I've made a list of some of the examples. It might be family stress. Stress in our relationships, in our finances, in our work pressures. How many of you can say honestly that, you know, there's pressures at work? We've talked about it. We've prayed for the situations at the oncology clinic. You think about this. There's times when things are out of our control, beyond what we can do in some things. Work pressures. But let me just say it this way. Ministry to people also can be very stressful. One of the things and one of the realities as a pastor is, not only do I have my own burdens, but I also hear of burdens that people have. I have a responsibility before God to take those burdens to the Lord, to help people carry those burdens. But if you're involved with ministry to people, you will face stress and burdens and even disappointments. It might be health burdens, responsibilities. It might be a crisis that comes into our lives. Sometimes it's criticism. You know, you're trying to serve the Lord and somebody's critical on the side. Worries, fears, insecurities, sorrow, even as we learned here this morning. Stress, busyness, change, decisions that we have to make. I want you to consider also another example here in Exodus chapter 18. Sometimes it's the demands of life. How do we deal with those demands? Exodus chapter 18 gives us the example here of Moses. And the account here is Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, visits him. Don't you notice here what happens as Jethro visits? Exodus chapter 18, verse 13 and following. And it came to pass on the morrow, on the next day, that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening, from the very first time in the first thing in the morning to late into the evening. And Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people. Is that what the Bible says? Notice all that he did in verse 14 to the people. He said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening. And Moses said unto, notice this obsession with his own importance. Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Notice people also suffer as Moses is doing this, and we do this in our lives. I want you to consider, stress does not just affect us. It affects those around us. I know in my own life, when I get burdened down, I don't have as much patience with my wife. What do you think about that? The ones that are closest to us are often the ones that feel the brunt of our stress. That's exactly what Jethro is telling Moses. This is not going to be good. You're doing things to the people. This is affecting you and the others around you. Another cause of our pressures and stress today is expectations upon ourselves and from others. I'm convinced that I am my own worst enemy at times. I have a list of things I want to accomplish. God reminds me every once in a while, all right, just take care of it one at a time. Yes, you have a list. Just keep working down through it. Expectations. Be careful of placing expectations on others. You end up putting stress and pressure on them that causes problems for them. Drivenness. That's another problem that I have. Anytime my wife and I go walking, she understands that she's going to get a power walk. When I go walking, when I walk at a store or whatever, I'm going to get my stuff. I'm getting to the checkouts and I'm going. You know, I'm not wandering around when we walk out, even out here, up the hill, charge up the hill. Drivenness. I have places to go. I have people I want to see, things I want to do. Sometimes our burdens are because of overcommitments. I'm so burdened down because I've taken on more than I can physically or honestly handle. But let me just mention this also. All of us, without the Lord Jesus Christ, have the burden of sin and condemnation on us. We are born with a burden of sin. The Bible says, once I place my faith in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. No condemnation to them that are in Christ. See, only Jesus Christ can help us with that burden in our lives. So what is the result of being heavy laden with burdens? Fatigue, high blood pressure, weariness, restlessness, and what people commonly refer to today as burnout. What is burnout? Ultimately, burnout is this. I am trying to do things in my flesh that God did not intend for me to do in my own strength. So what's the ultimate end in this? The Bible calls it becoming faint. Wanting to quit. Heavy laden with burdens. What's your notice to me? Another example, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, probably out of any Christian who's ever lived in the last 2,000 years, probably had what I would say is the heaviest burdens to bear than any other Christian that I know of. I want you to notice how he describes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe he's tooting his own horn here. The Holy Spirit wanted him. And in essence, 2 Corinthians is written to defend his apostleship to the church at Corinth. And in the process of this, notice it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble." Notice, trouble. "Well, I thought if I became a Christian, all my troubles would go away." No, you may have more troubles when you become a Christian. Notice all the trouble, our trouble, which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now, pause there for a moment. From time to time, I hear people say, God will never give you more than you can handle. That's not what the Apostle Paul just said. God may give you more than you can handle. You know why? Because God wants you to see that you can't do it on your own. You have to have His strength. Notice, he was pressed out of measure above strength. And they even despaired of, this is the Apostle Paul's even despairing of life. Verse 9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." Notice here again, we are to learn to trust Him. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." There's times when the Apostle Paul didn't know what to think. He was perplexed. "Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Also chapter 11. If you're ever feeling burdened and overwhelmed, I think it's helpful to read what the Apostle Paul experienced in his life and ministry. The things that he suffered for the cause of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure." You know what a stripe is? A whipping. "Stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft." Constantly he was near death. of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now, why does the Bible speak of 40 stripes, save one? The Jews considered 40 stripes to be death. The whipping, the floggings. And so basically what they would do is, all right, so 39, 40 stripes, save one, minus one. But notice what it said, what he says there. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times he was one lash away from death, according to the Jewish reckoning. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. We read of that in the book of Acts. He was left for dead. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. We read one of those times in the book of Acts. Three times he suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. He was constantly robbed as he was traveling from place to place. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren, false teachers. Weariness. Notice, in weariness and painfulness. In watchings often, sleepless nights. In hunger and thirst and fastings often, went without food. In cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The Apostle Paul ultimately had a part in hundreds of churches being started. And he says, I have a burden because of all those churches, the care of all those churches. You see, even preachers can become heavy laden with burdens. And there's another preacher that I think about, Prophet Elijah. The Prophet Elijah had a mountaintop experience. He had a confrontation with King Ahab and the 450 prophets of Baal. And as he had this confrontation, of course, he prays fire down from heaven, consumes the sacrifice. Then he calls everyone to take a sword and they kill all the prophets of Baal. Then immediately at the beginning of the next chapter, after he prays rain and all those things, after 3.5 years of drought, of famine, Jezebel says, you're going to be like one of those prophets by this time tomorrow. What happens with Elijah? He takes off running. Well, he faces 450 prophets of Baal and one woman. The queen says, you're going to be dead. He takes off. You see, the issue with Elijah was, there was a time when he went full speed ahead, mountaintop experience, and he hit a low spot. He was physically, emotionally, and spiritually drained and exhausted. You see, even preachers can become heavy laden with burdens. I want you to notice with me Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. As I was preparing this, I thought of the hymn about burdens. I'm turning to Matthew chapter 11. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see. Every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. You see, burdens are lifted at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to help us bear our burdens. So how do we lighten the load? First of all, we must yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and following. I want you to see the word picture that Jesus gives here. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice his invitation here. Come unto me. And notice it's open to all. All that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word labor speaks of toil leading to fatigue. Heavy laden speaks of being overburdened. But notice Jesus gives a promise here of rest. Notice, and I will give you rest. Now, I want to clarify some of that. Because when we think of rest today in our modern day, we think of something totally different than what the Bible speaks of rest here. First of all, it's not amusement. What does the word muse mean? It means to think, right? What does the word amuse mean? No thinking. So when somebody goes to an amusement park, it's exactly right. You get on some of those rides, you're not thinking. An amusement park means I can set aside my thinking for a while and I just can just entertain myself. Notice we're not talking about amusement. We're also not talking about leisure activities. golf, recreation, whatever. Some of those things are not wrong in and of themselves. But that's not what Jesus is referring to here. It's also not laziness, sleeping our lives away. The book of Proverbs calls that a sluggard. You know, when we think of rest, we think, well, I'm sleeping until noon or whatever. That's not what the Bible's talking about here. We're not even talking about physical rest as far as what Jesus is saying. We're not talking about vacation or days off, though those things are necessary from time to time. Notice what Jesus is saying here about rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your body. Is that what the Bible says? Rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hold your place there. Notice with me Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, there are times when the Lord says it's time to come apart and rest a while. If we're constantly going and going and around people, then we're not going to get the rest that Jesus is referring to there in Matthew chapter 11. Mark chapter 6, verse 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Notice there was an accountability there. They reported back to Jesus. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there are many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Notice they didn't have time to eat. And they departed unto a desert place by ship privately. All right, so they're trying to get some time aside with Jesus. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them and came together unto him. Notice they didn't end up getting much of their time by themselves. But here's what I want you to understand. As we think about our modern terminology of rest and time away and all those things, it's very interesting that Americans have more leisure than we have rest today. Did you catch what I said? We have more leisure than we do rest today. Back in the 1930s, the average work week was 18 hours longer than the average week we have now. And yet we are more burdened than ever. We work less as far as in comparison to the 1930s, but we have more burdens now than ever before. See, there's something that's changed in our thinking. You notice here again, they did not get the rest that they were wanting to do physically. But Jesus says it's important to spend some time away with him. Psalm 37 verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 116 verse 7 says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Another hymn that I think of is a chorus to a song. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. How do we get the rest that Jesus is talking about? What did Jesus say we had to do there in Matthew chapter 11? What is a yoke? A yoke is what's put on two different animals. Jesus is talking about work here. Laboring alongside the Lord. Now in this passage, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. As I did some study on this, this yoke here is actually probably a training yoke. A young ox, a young animal, does not like to be hitched up to work. And so what they would do, they would have this training yoke. They would hitch up a young animal with an older animal, and they would train that younger ox or the younger animal how to pull together in the yoke. Because a young animal is going to pull away. It's going to jerk away and not work with them. Isn't that exactly a good description of what we do? Lord, I can handle this myself. Okay, you fail by yourself then. That's what Jesus ultimately says. We're talking about bearing burdens together with the Lord. In fact, that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says. We are laborers together, not just for the Lord, but with the Lord. We're working with the Lord, not just for him. But you notice the important thing here. Take my yoke upon you. It's Christ's agenda, not our agenda. See, there's why we're so burdened. Lord, here's all the things I want to do for you. Jesus says, oh, really? Did I tell you to do that? Notice also, not just the yoke, but notice we are to have the right spirit. It says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. It's interesting. Moses is described as the meekest man on the earth. By the way, that's one of the proofs of inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The meekest man on the earth wouldn't write that down. The Holy Spirit told Moses, you write down that you're the meekest. Meekness is not weakness. Moses was a leader of millions of people. That's not weakness. Notice this meekness here. He says, I am meek and lowly of heart, humility. Notice that it says here at the end of verse 29, ye shall find rest unto your souls, not just our body. You find rest for the soul. Hold your place there. Notice with me Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26 verses 3 and 4. As we see this, what the Lord wants for us to have in our inner spirit. Thou wilt keep him, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace. 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 Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Notice, as I am yoked up with Christ, as I'm pulling together in His power, then it's not in my power at all. I'm just yoked up with the Lord. I'm laboring together with the Lord. As I'm yoked up with Him, He's the one that does all the pulling. There's no ending to His strength. You shall find rest for your souls. Relief from the pressure and fatigue of the soul. The key is we must stay in the yoke. We don't need to take time to turn there, but Jeremiah 28 verse 13 says, talks about trading a yoke of wood for a yoke of iron. The setting there is Jeremiah was told to wear this yoke as a picture of Babylon coming in and taking control and putting Israel in bondage. And so one of these false prophets come up to Jeremiah and he takes the yoke and he breaks it up and breaks this yoke up. God says, okay, Hananiah, you send Hananiah a message. You've broken up the yoke of wood, so I'm going to send you a yoke of iron. Hard bondage. He says, if I give up this yoke of wood with the Lord, then I end up in hard bondage. God wants us to stay in the yoke. Because back in Matthew 11, verse 30, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. No, that doesn't sound like my Christian life. That doesn't sound like my Christian life. Well, that's your Christian life and not his life. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what do? You end up pulling together a heavier load than you can handle by yourself. Because you're pulling with the Lord's strength. You see, if I feel overwhelmed with burdens, it is my fault, not Christ's. The second way we lighten our load is through prayer. Listen to me, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Not only do we yoke up with Christ and serve with Him, labor with Him in His work, I want you to notice also prayer is vitally important for lightening our load. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. Now, if you read the Gospels very carefully, Jesus did not have an easy life. Even before the cross, He did not have an easy life. Notice Mark 1, verse 32. And even when the sun did set, they brought... Notice, this is at the end of the day when He should be able to rest. When the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And He healed all... Is that what the Bible says? He healed many that were sick with diverse various diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew Him. I'll pause there a moment. Even Jesus, humanly speaking in this earth, did not minister and meet all needs. Why is it that we think we can meet all needs that come our way? Do we even ask God, am I supposed to be involved in this responsibility? Notice verse 35. In the midst of busyness, it says, verse 35, and in the morning, before the day of alarm clocks and all that, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. He found place to be alone with His Heavenly Father. Even while He was in prayer, notice, Simon and they that were with Him followed after Him. And when they found Him, they said unto Him, all men seek for Thee. And Jesus says, no. I know we didn't minister all these needs, but I need to go to the next towns also. That's what my father told me to do. Prayer. You don't need to turn there, but Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, I believe, are two verses you need to memorize. Be careful or full of care for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What's the result? And the peace of God. Remember the peace that we saw in Isaiah 26? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice, prayer is vitally important to handling the demands, the pressures of life. Number three, eternal priorities. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know, we're so burdened down and concerned and pressured about the necessities of life. The Lord says, you know, if you prioritize the kingdom and my righteousness, all of that stuff will be met. All those needs will be provided. What did I say? Our three eternal priorities. What did I say in the last hour? God, the Bible, and the souls of people. Nothing else will last forever. Eternal priorities. If I narrow down my priorities to things that are eternal, well, I've got to work. You work for eternal things. You work to provide for your family. You work to supply the needs of the ministry, of the saints, and all those things. Focus on eternal priorities. Last of all, an eternal perspective. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We need an eternal perspective. While you're turning there, Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. "For which cause we faint not." We don't lose heart to the point of quitting. Being weak and lacking courage. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish." How many of you are getting younger? How many of you have a body that's feeling younger every day? I'm not. I'm finding that I can't do as much as I used to be able to do 30 years ago. Notice, our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I think of the hymn, "Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or for fear." Verse 17, "For our light affliction." Remember what we saw light affliction was for the Apostle Paul? 2 Corinthians 11. Remember all the light affliction that he had? Being whipped within an inch of his life and all those things. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." Notice it doesn't last forever. "Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Notice the temporal prepares and produces and accomplishes something eternal in our lives. "While we look not at the things which are seen in this lifetime, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You see, we need an eternal perspective. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life when I get overburdened, stressed out, overwhelmed. The Lord says, "Why, child? Are you out of the yoke? Or are you fighting in the yoke?" What would happen to an animal that fights while it's in the yoke? Probably rub on its hide and all those things. That's exactly what happens when we fight the Lord in the yoke. It's going to rub sores. It's going to hurt. The Lord says, "Work with me. Labor with me. Do my work. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Father, I want to thank you for these reminders here today. Lord, I don't know all of the stresses and the burdens. I know some of the people here. But Father, I pray that you'd help us to evaluate, to consider the burdens that we experience in our lives. Are they necessary burdens? Are they burdens you want us to bear? Father, maybe some ways, some things we need to give up because they're unnecessary burdens. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to remain in the yoke, to not fight the yoke of the Lord. Lord, help us to be involved in your work, your ministry. But help us to often be in prayer, to find relief, rest from our burdens. Father, help us to have an eternal perspective on the things of life. Lord, I pray that somebody here this morning does not know Christ as Savior, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, help us to take a look at our lives, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.